Hello, and welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club podcast. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. If you're looking for computer solutions anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate it you get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. And I am your host for these club meetings.
And I am Viviana Stimson. I am his daughter. I will be your host for the introduction because I wasn't here for the meeting.
You know, you can be here for the meetings. All you have to do is get up early.
No, thank you.
But we could use your insight.
No, thank you.
Well, that's what rolling your eyeballs sounds like. Anyway, what she missed was amazing.
I bet it wasn't.
Don't listen to her. I don't know why I had her come in here. She should not be part of the intro. You may leave now.
Okay.
But seriously, we had a great meeting, talked a lot, so sit back, relax, and enjoy today's meeting, August 1st, 2020, of the San Carlos Computer Club. Tech on.
Tech on.
Hey, I'm just going to take a quick moment and say I have started the stream, and this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and we're a small group this morning. It's just the four of us. I think Cheryl and Bill are going to join us in a bit. They mentioned that they have family in town, and they were just saying their goodbyes. But I guess everybody's busy this Saturday. But as usual, we've gotten together to talk about tech topics in this day and age, this quarantined age. Can you believe this is our 21st meeting done in a virtual format, where I don't get to see you face-to-face? We're just doing this through the summer in front of our computer screens. And there doesn't seem to be any real end in sight to it at the moment. Yeah, school's going to start soon here, and my kids are all set to be online learners. There's no plan to open the schools before 2021, at least not in the Sonoran area. And I just saw that in Alaska they're doing the same thing, that they've just finally, or at least in the Anchorage School District, they finally said that they're doing all online virtual learning now, and they're not planning on going back to the classroom until 2021.
Speaking of Alaska, Irving and Betty, they had to evacuate about 1 o'clock in the morning from Homer.
For that tsunami that was was supposedly going to happen.
Right, but it didn't. But they let him back in the house.
Well, here comes Stanley. Hello, Stanley. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great. We were just getting started. We're a small group so far.
Hey, Stanley.
We were just talking about Irving having to do his evacuation after the earthquake.
Oh, no, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah. They had to evacuate like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. So where are they now?
They're back home. They only had to evacuate for a few hours.
Yeah.
I don't know where they evacuated to, but...
I don't think anybody had any damage or threat. It was just the concern after that earthquake that a tsunami would come and hit, but I don't think that anything happened.
Well, the place they have the trailer, they have a fifth wheeler, and it is right near the end of the spit. The spit has a hotel right on the very end, and they're right next to that hotel because we've stayed in that hotel.
Wow. Well, I'm back in here. Everything is working good. I'm sure I'm coming through nice and clear, but my audio, I can hear you and everything, but it is like a little distorted, which is unusual, but it's happened before.
I've already seen that I've been having internet problems on my end this morning. So if I sound distorted or get frozen up, it may just be my end that's the issue.
But talk, Linda. Let me see what you sound like.
Good morning, Stanley. How's Gene?
Gene is okay, and you're also distorted a wee bit, but I think that's I don't know what it is.
Well, in typical computer club fashion, I've come with no agenda, and but I do have a couple of topics, but I'm happy to talk about any questions or concerns you guys might have with technology. Is there anything that somebody feels like deserves the top of the hour? Is there anything, any question you're wishing to get out or information you'd like to share? I'd be curious to hear about Linda's mesh network. How's that going for you?
It's the best. I am so happy. I can now get TV in my bedroom without freezing off the living room. So that makes me really happy, and I've been very, very happy with it. I should have done that the first place in San Carlos, but I was being cheap, I guess.
Well, this Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. We're just getting rolling. Nice to see you.
Hi, everybody. If I disappear, I'm not being rude. I just think it'd be rude to interrupt you to say goodbye.
Okay. No worries.
Okay.
Well, Linda, your mesh network is Eero. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you're very happy with it. And are you paying the subscription fee for it?
No, but I did get the security thing for the year. They had a special deal for $24 for the year.
Okay.
That's... So I did buy that. So it's monitoring all the time, even though I have, I have malware bytes and you name it, but... I went ahead and took the security thing, and they give you every week, they give you how many threats they've done and how many threats they've blocked and all kinds of little goodies that they've done. But I am really happy with it. So I have it in my kitchen and I have it in my bedroom. And the main one is, of course, connected to the router. So
I may have to upgrade to something like that. I'm still using very classic old Apple router and repeater technology. And every so often I'm running around the house turning things off and turning them back on to get them talking to each other correctly again. It's more than being talking correctly. It's being able to sort out what's the best channel to be sending your wireless data across. And these new mesh networks are just much better. They have more options for how to communicate with each other, and they do a better job of switching between those methods. So your experience is just much more accurate, more closer to 100%.
Well, you know how when I put in the other network in San Carlos, it never worked correctly, but I don't know if that's because of the Telmex router.
Right.
Here I have a CenturyLink router.
Yep.
And I bought it. You buy it yourself. I bought it on the internet. I think it was $80 or something.
Well, I remember your connection. It was the Orbi from Netgear, right? And what we were able to determine over time was that if Telmex failed, the Orbi wouldn't recover. And so Telmex shouldn't be failing in the first place, but the Orbi should be able to recover from a failure. And it just wasn't. The only thing you could do is power cycle everything to get it to go again.
Well, I was having problems with the CenturyLink, and it was going down all the time. But the Orbi was, I mean, but the Eero was recovering. It's been recovering when the internet went down. But I called CenturyLink and they did something. And since then, I haven't had any problem with it.
I'm switching my camera over. If you guys can see my camera, I'm going to point at some equipment here if I can. Is it upside down? It is upside down, isn't it? Maybe this isn't such a good idea.
My sound has cleared up.
Oh, great. So I don't know if you can make out this equipment, but this TP-Link right here is a load balancing router, and I have it plugged into both Telmex and the Quanz X-Pro system. And I've been fairly happy with it. I think I need to do a better installation of Quanz stuff, but it has automatically been switching between the two connections so that I don't have to do anything. If one goes down, it moves the traffic to the other. But load balancing, it is constantly switching over to the other. It is whenever one feels saturated, it moves traffic over to the other connection. Whichever one is more readily available, it's using for its traffic.
I'm finally getting a good picture of you.
Well, I've been switching between all my cameras here.
Oh, that's a small one there.
Well, you can look at the top of my head if you want to. That's all my equipment I've got in this office.
Well, now Marion and Gordon on the Caracol, they're on the side of, I don't know what side that is, where the beach club is, that side. Okay, so they have Juan's unit, and he fixed it so that they could get my TV better.
Yeah.
But she's having all kinds of problems with her TV when none of the rest of us are, and I don't know what it could be.
Well, I think Juan's got some issues in his system. There are times when it's just the bandwidth is not there. I don't know if the way it works is we are all sharing a 200 megabit per second fiber optic link that's sitting on top of Gringo Pete's. And that, and he's got an antenna on Gringo Pete's that's beaming it to subsidiary antennas around town. So I've got an antenna in my neighbor's yard, in the back of my neighbor's yard. He's got a tower, and it points to Gringo Pete's. And then it repeats the signal up towards Loma del Mar and out in this Ranchitos area. So my connection is being connected to the tower behind me, and then from the tower behind me to the tower on top of Gringo Pete's, if that makes sense. And so I think in that, I mean, when it works great. But we're all sharing that same bandwidth. Kind of like an arm of cable, you've probably heard people talk about in the past where if you're using cable internet and your neighbors are using it, your speed will go down because you're all sharing from that same bandwidth. It's kind of the same idea. We're all competing for the same amount of bandwidth on Juan's system. So I'm really curious how well his system's going to work when we have more people here in the winter. But right now, I'm sorry, Linda, did you have a question?
Well, they were supposed to get, I don't know, how many megabytes are you supposed to be getting? Because she said they were supposed to be getting 30 or 40 megabytes, yet she's freezing and can barely watch the television.
So I'm getting between, 30 to 90. I've also seen above 100 megabits a second. But how much of that has to do with saturation? Like when I get 30, or if it goes down to 10, or it goes down to nothing, Is everybody getting nothing, or is somebody successfully taking advantage of all that bandwidth he has available? Because it tops out at 200 megabits. So I don't know how many customers he has, but imagine if there's, I don't know, 10 of us all streaming 4K Netflix at the same time. Then we would all be competing for that. That would be, if there's 10 of us, there'd be 20 megabits sliced up, and each one of us would have 20 megabits. That would total 200 megabits a second. So if we're all trying to use 20 megabits at the same time, there's no more internet left. And so his equipment would have to balance that experience. Go ahead, Linda. So, I'm sorry.
So even though it says you're getting 30 megabits, you're not. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
because she's getting my TV very good, and you only need... you only need maybe 8 to 10 to get it pretty good, because I never had a problem when I lived in the country club.
I can do a speed test on Juan's system, and the majority of the time it'll be way above 30 megabits a second. But I think that's in a moment. That's in a snapshot of time. That's not in general. I think in general, it's going up and down all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's not fair for me to pull that apart, because I haven't done a good installation. I'm so close to this other antenna. I've taken my antenna and I've just tossed it on my roof and pointed it to his antenna. But I'm actually out of the zenith. I'm actually down where I can have problems with just humidity, with other Wi-Fi interference. And so for me to give it a fair test, I have to get it on a pole. I have to fix it so that it's up in that area. And then I'll have a much better idea of whether it's my installation that's causing the patchiness or if it's his equipment. I suspect it has something to do with his network, because I'm just so close to the antenna. I can't imagine it's going to make that big of a difference getting it mounted on a pole. But it's not fair for me to criticize without having a proper installation. It's easy to blame it on an improper installation.
Well, he used to have that two satellite dishes on top of, I can't think of her name, on H Street.
Yeah.
I don't know if he took those down after she passed away or what.
Are you still there? Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the last word you said.
Are you talking about Jane?
Yeah, Jane's.
She died.
He had two dishes on top of her house. But after he passed away and they sold the house to the couple actually that comes to Computer Club, I don't know if they took those dishes down or not.
Yeah, those would be private issues that he's had with I'm sorry, I forget my English.
You're too young.
Yeah, he would have worked that out privately with them. So if they sold the house, then he would be at the mercy of whoever bought the house. I mean, if they decided, because it's more than the dishes. He's got to have equipment up there, power up there to repeat that stuff.
Right.
So
I don't know if they took those dishes down off that house or not. But no. I think that's F Street there.
Yeah, all they'd have to do is unplug his equipment, and it wouldn't matter whether the dishes were there or not. They wouldn't work.
Oh, okay. Hey, Judy.
Hey, guys. Judy, we can't hear you. You're muted.
That was my post on Facebook the other day. The quote for 2020, you're on mute.
You're on mute. No one can hear you.
Oh, me. Can you hear me?
Bill, you sound great. Are you using that new external microphone? Yes, you are. We determined the grinding that we would hear periodically from Bill's end was coming from a cooling fan in his laptop. So we got him to use an external microphone now so we don't have that interference.
Well, don't piss me off or I'll unplug it.
I have equipment story to tell whenever it's appropriate.
Well, this sounds like a good time. We've just been screwing around. We've had an update from Linda on her Wi-Fi mesh setup. And we talked a little bit about the hearings. I'd like to get back to that. But Chester, go ahead and share your story.
Well, let's see. 3 years ago, I purchased locally a 65-inch Samsung TV. That was 3 years ago. And just this week, I was switching between HDMI and Netflix. And I stopped for a little bit on what's called TV. And lo and behold, Samsung has 200 channels on TV. And they're streaming in, and I had no knowledge of it. And apparently is a part of buying a smart Samsung television.
So this isn't HDTV over the air. This is actually like a Samsung channel.
It's a Samsung, Samsung
app. App is probably a better way to think of it.
It's on the Samsung smart TV, and there you are. You have 200 channels you can play with, and TV guide and everything.
That's wild.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
Chester, do all the channels work for you?
Well, I flipped around. I haven't really spent a lot of time on it, but I flipped around to several different channels, and yes, every one of them came up.
Yeah, because with our Roku, what I found, because I was playing around in the menu trying to figure out what it was, and it said that I could, I don't know, add the channels to my menu. But every single one that I added, not available in your area, not available without subscription. I didn't find anything that was what I would consider a channel that I had access to.
Well, I also have a Roku that I just bought this year, and I don't get that on the Roku. It's just on the Samsung.
Oh, okay. So on the Roku, are you adding channels to your menu?
No, on the Roku, I'm just watching it while I'm exercising on my stationary bike.
Yeah, and you watch the Roku channel, or you watch the?
I've been watching Fox.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I'll experiment and see with Roku what I can also do. I haven't done that.
Yeah. It could be a lifetime ambition just to figure out what I have on that damn TV.
Chester, where did you go to get the TV channels?
Beg pardon?
Where did you go to get the TV channels? Because I have two.
It has TV, and then you go to the right of that, and HDMI 1, HDMI 2, and then I can't remember the fourth one over there. It's called the TV slot, and I would think it would be for over the air television, but it's not. It's Samsung.
TV slot. I'm going to try it.
So what you're describing sounds like when you select the input of your TV, like you're going to select the Blu-ray or you're going to select the cable box. That list on the Samsung, there is now an option. What'd you call it? Does it say TV?
It's just TV.
TV.
You sit on it for a minute or so, and all of a sudden, here comes all these. I think it's called Samsung Plus.
Samsung Plus.
Does it say ARC, A-R-C?
I'm not sure.
Because if you have a Samsung TV, then you probably have one of your inputs, like one of your HDMI will be specifically for Samsung, because I have a Sony, and it's basically the same thing. If I go to my choices, I have something called ARC, and then I can go ahead and get into like the specifics of the Sony itself.
Cheryl, I'm curious, is your Roku TV from the States? I'm curious if they would sell that in Canada and then tell you you can't take advantage of anything that you can pull up on it.
Well, we bought it at Costco, and it's a TLC, what, a TCL?
TCL.
But you bought it in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you wouldn't expect it to be able to, you wouldn't think it would be presenting you with anything that you couldn't take advantage of. Because it would be
on there, you know, the MSNBC, all the different networks.
Yeah, it's...
But most of them, when I go to them, it just has this sign that says not available. I can, you know, I've got my cable box hooked up on TV, and I can go to my channels on it. But they just look like some interesting ones under the Roku, and it just keeps telling me you have to be in the United States.
Like when we...
No, it doesn't tell you that. It just says not available in your area.
Not in your area. That's just really...
Which usually means that.
Really poor form on their part to allow that to happen. If I bought a TV set at Costco or at Sam's Club here in Wyomas and brought it home, smart TV, I'd expect every app that's preloaded on it to at least have a tie to a service that I can use because it's a Mexican TV being sold in the Mexican market. Why would there be anything that would be presented to me that, I mean, even if it's paying service, I could be a paying customer. I shouldn't see anything. I shouldn't see Hulu on there or any of these services that aren't available in Mexico. I should see only services that are available in Mexico.
And maybe because I selected them from a general list and then added them to my menu, like they didn't add it, I did.
Oh, well, if you pulled them out of the app store, that's one thing. But if they're preloaded, that seems very odd. Maybe TLC is just... doing a standard installation and sending that out just because it's cheap, just because it's easier than saying this is a Canadian version, this is a U.S. version, this is a Mexican version. They're just saying this. Well, oh, maybe. No. The only other thing I can think of is your Roku. Do you have a Roku account that you set up with the TV set?
Bill?
I think we did.
Because the Roku accounts are region-based.
Ah.
And so you can have a U.S. Roku account using a Roku in Canada or in Mexico. And that just gets a little odd because you can see apps and you can install apps that you can't use because you're not in the right region.
Yeah.
But you set your TV up, did you set it up for Canada?
Billy set up the account.
That was more than a week ago. I can't remember it.
Well, one thing about...
And that time lapse is getting shorter.
For all of us.
What's your name again?
I can't remember what I did 5 minutes ago.
Why are you people all on my computer?
Where did you guys come from?
Yeah, go away. Get out of here.
Go away. You all, shut off your mics. I'm trying to read.
We had Jill's brother and sister-in-law here. We just said goodbye to them in the driveway. And we said to him we were going to go on this. Well, what's this Zoom everybody's talking about? And I said, well, there's going to be people on the screen there from all over Mexico, United States. And he just can't get that. He's amazed every time we FaceTime him, you know?
I had to explain it. He knows what FaceTime is. Like we FaceTime him all the time. But I said it's like five people on FaceTime at the same time. You can see more than one person. And that he sort of got it then.
I think these meets are actually limited to 100 people. It seems like that's how Zoom is too. I think FaceTime is actually limited to 5 people. I think that's been one of their issues with Apple, is they've been trying to catch up because they want to be able to compete in this market that we're in right now, this Corona market that we're in. And what they have to offer right now is very limited in the number of people that can gather and meet. Has anybody got any things that they wanted to bring to the table? Did you guys watch the hearings with Apple and Amazon and Facebook and Google?
Yes.
Yeah, Linda, did you have any comments you'd like to make about it?
Well, it was still sort of the same way as the other thing where the congressmen were talking to the people. They ganged up on Google a lot.
Yeah.
I think more than Facebook, they ganged up on Google. And I never saw anything from Jeff Bezos, so I kind of turned, I guess I must have turned it off, but
well,
it was pretty much a Google as far as I was concerned.
I watched it all, and what I saw was that they were really focusing on, first of all, my first thoughts are, it's the smartest the Congress people have ever been at a tech hearing. They absolutely, I was just very impressed by how smart the questions were that they were asking. I did feel like they didn't wait around for answers very long. And one of the reasons I think they treated them very hostily is because they're masters of digressing and deflecting. And especially like a Mark Zuckerberg, he's got so much he can say about technology. And what the tech people, if you've watched these kinds of hearings in the past, what you've seen is they'll take a question, they'll take one piece of the question, and they will take it out of context, and they will tell you all kinds of stuff about that piece. And I think that in this case, what I was watching was congressmen, both Republicans and Democrats, for the first time in a long time, on the same page. They were holding these people accountable for how big their businesses have become, and not because they're big. In fact, I some Republicans went out of their way to say, we're not going to punish you for being successful, but we need to understand how businesses this big affect our world. And so I thought they had some really pointed questions that were very intelligent. And in the past, they have not been intelligent questions. In the past, these congressmen didn't know what they were asking about.
Well, I think one of the big things about the whole internet, I mean, if you had so many people in the game, it would be, to me, it would be really disorganized. And even though they're complaining that these people are running monopolies, you can't possibly have that many people in the game, or it wouldn't be worth it.
It would be chaos.
Chaos is the word. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were limited to the constraints of the format, and so I think that they had shut them down when they felt like they were digressing. The monopolies, I think what we're dealing with, and I think the congressmen are trying to figure it out too, is we can very much be in a world where the monopoly is very successful, where it's not hurting people at the moment. Like, it feels like it's the right way to be, if you get what I mean. Like I'm almost to the point, I may sound pretty radical, but I'm almost to the point where I think if we get a couple more years down the line, they're going to do something like take Amazon away. That they're going to say that this infrastructure for selling is so important to the way the world's working that it should be run by government and not by a private organization. Or a public organization in this case, a privately owned, publicly owned organization. That they're going to be comparing the ability to do commerce in a virtual marketplace, the same. They're going to hold it at the same level as infrastructure, roads, water, electricity, and it requires the same kind of regulation. And that the only way that they can do this is by breaking it up.
In other words, they'll be considering it a utility that has, and we've been down that road before, back in the 1920s with the robber barons, when President Teddy Roosevelt and got through Congress the antitrust legislation. And all of those monopolies were broken up, and I don't think it's hurt anything over the years. Matter of fact, it's, competition has been good. And I think what the situation here is two issues. One is size of the entities, and the next is policing what they allow and not allow on the forum. And I'm talking about restricting everyone's freedom of thought. A freedom of expression that they're interfering with.
Yeah, the censoring issue the censoring issue in the hearing felt a little out of place, because it really was, what would we call it, antitrust, that we were, that was the, what was the hearing that, gosh, I don't even have the language.
Yeah, and antitrust is the issue, and that's also a big issue in Europe right now, and particularly with Google. And they're having major problems with Europe over the size and antitrust.
What? And Linda, you said particularly in Europe with Google, which is a classic. I mean, like, Europe is actually doing a better job of policing this stuff than we are in the United States. And I heard a commenter saying that, well, what is the word I'm looking for? I heard a journalist, let's just say that. I heard a journalist speaking on this issue, and they said that it really is because in the United States, our antitrust is focused on hurting competition. And in Europe, their antitrust is focused on hurting consumers.
Well, I know. Our antitrust has been asleep for a number of years. They've allowed mergers to go through that should never have happened. But there you are. You know.
Okay, but on the same line, what about Trump saying he's going to ban TikTok?
Well,
and Apple is talking to buy TikTok.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any opinion on that. I mean, you started by saying Trump says, and so it's probably crazy, right? Well, no, wait, I'm sorry.
He's going to ban TikTok.
He does want to ban things from China. That was one thing that I thought was amazing. I hadn't paid any attention to what emphasis Google has had in artificial intelligence in China. And one of the congressmen was just grilling Google very intelligently. I mean, like very smart questions. They came prepared to talk to tech people this time. And his issue was that they're helping China develop artificial intelligence, but they refused to help the U.S. government with some of their endeavors. And I wasn't even aware of how much they had been doing in artificial intelligence in China. And as we see the way that China does business, we can imagine anything that they come up with would be applicable in their surveillance state, as well as in their surveillance across their international espionage. I just felt like it's the first time I've heard Congress people asking tech people really intelligent questions. With I'm sorry, Linda.
I think Chester's got two instances of us up.
How's that?
I think something happened to my camera.
Yeah.
That happened a minute ago.
I saw you disappear for a second and then come back. I just figured it was bandwidth.
I turned it off trying to get it to operate, but Something, my video is frozen.
Not for me. I see you just fine. In fact, I'm going to put you full screen. If you guys have me pinned, you should be looking at me and Chester right now.
I don't have anybody pinned.
No.
They're all the same size, and then you've got the one little block in the center.
I don't know what that means.
It's got everybody's picture on it, a small square.
Okay.
You've got the full screen, Scott. When we pin you, we see all of us, and yep. You off to the side.
Yeah, yeah, and then what I'll do is I'll bring, like, Chester forward as he's talking. Yeah. And you should see a little me and a big Chester in my window.
No,
not recently.
You don't see me at all?
Yeah, no. We see you and all of us.
I see the speaker big and everybody else little.
Yes. Oh, I don't see Scott at all.
No, I don't either.
So I'm broadcasting all of you right now. Here, I'll switch to just broadcasting me. This is me. Hello, everybody.
No,
it didn't change.
No, it didn't change.
I don't know what that's all about.
And everyone's frozen, not just me.
I don't know what to tell you, Chester. You are not frozen, and everyone on my screen is not frozen.
Well, now we have a big Linda and a little Scott.
And Linda's frozen now.
You know what? There must be... I have been watching my internet connection having problems. If you have me pinned, maybe my video is extremely delayed.
Well, it was doing really good for a while there. I could see me moving at the same time as I was, but now it's... you're gone completely.
Now I just see Linda for San Carlos Computer Club.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I don't. I'm actually rolling across Juan's, only Juan's connection right now. Let me plug Telmex back in.
Linda is frozen, and when you speak, the little green things vibrate on Linda's picture. Her frozen. There you are. You're back now.
All right. So I just plugged in the Telmex connection that I've been.
But you're frozen.
But yes, I'm frozen. What if I change and now I'm broadcasting all of you?
No. Now it's just the logo. Now it's you.
Scott.
Yes, sir. You know this is your fault, Bill, because you weren't here 45 minutes ago to help me test.
Well, see, I was going to say, you know, there's two things I look for. Or normalcy. One is toilet paper in the grocery stores. Thank God we got toilet paper again. And the other is at least one glitch on the Saturday morning. I mean, I was feeling a little weird here. There was no glitch.
Well, I'm no longer frozen.
You're no longer frozen. Okay.
It's almost real time.
I didn't mean to change the subject, but I noticed something was wrong.
No, that's fine.
Where were we?
Well, we were talking about this hearing, and nobody was able to answer questions except for their CEOs, so all of them had to show up. They showed up in this kind of format, a Zoom format, with Tim Cook with Apple. They were really addressing the App Store and how much control they have over that, which,
right.
I mean, it seems a little out of place. But they do. I mean, what became clear, I didn't realize this. Maybe you guys knew this, but I didn't know this. But apparently Apple has a backdoor deal with Amazon to give them to receive a smaller cut from Amazon because they wanted Amazon Prime on their Apple TV service. And so all of Apple's developers are giving Apple 30% of what they take in through the App Store. If I build an app and I'm selling widgets, Apple takes 30% of each widget. If you guys aren't aware of that, that's how Apple works. There are a lot of free apps out there, but up until recently, if you were to use the Amazon app, you couldn't do your purchases through the Amazon app. it would redirect you to a web page. Because if you made the purchase through the Amazon app, they would have to give Apple 30%. Shoes, furniture, but more importantly, music, movies, and books. And Apple was so intent on getting Amazon Prime on their Apple TV that they have done a secret deal with Amazon and given and taken a smaller percentage. And I didn't know that until this hearing. It's very nuanced. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to know whether you should be upset about it or not. If I was an Apple TV owner, I'd be very happy I can finally run my Prime. I can watch my Prime movies on my Apple TV. And it's more than that. You were able to do that before. But what Apple wanted was they wanted Amazon to design for the Apple TV interface. That interface that pops up in front of you and makes suggestions, and you can go from the suggestion right to the programming. And Amazon wasn't going to do any of that kind of stuff unless they got a different deal.
5 minutes.
With Mark Zuckerberg, they were really focused on the censorship issue that Chester, you'd brought up earlier. They really talked about him being able to shut down. And actually, there was a funny moment there. I don't remember the congressman, but they asked him about the Donald Trump Donald Trump Jr. censorship of the Harley Quinn. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. This anti-COVID drug that the Trump administration's been pushing, and how he was censored. And Mark Zuckerberg came right back and said, "Well, actually, I think that was on Twitter. That wasn't us. But I think I can answer the question you're trying to ask." But so he held Mark Zuckerberg accountable for something that had happened on Twitter. I found that humorous. But yeah, that was a censorship issue. I don't know if that's an antitrust issue. They did get into Instagram because they remembered that they're an antitrust panel. And those were very intelligent questions as well. And they brought up emails from Mark Zuckerberg and his people that were very candid, where they talk about how they better buy Instagram or they might end up competing with Instagram. And they use that as examples of antitrust, where when you're that large in size, buying them outright to avoid competition is an option. And they approached that with all the companies. They approached that with Amazon and with Facebook and with Google and with Apple, because they're all at a size where they don't have to mess around trying to develop a competing technology. They've got a big enough, you know, they've got a big enough basket that they could just outright buy these smaller, they could buy the competition away. Judy, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I don't mean to dominate the conversation.
But all of them have accumulated substantial amounts of cash.
Maybe that's the real antitrust problem, is that they are too big. And I feel bad for the Republicans in the room that they were on the panel, because they did. They very much made a point of saying, we don't want to punish you for being successful, but we do have to see how this affects our culture. And maybe this is like hyper, hyper big in a way that we've never experienced. They used the analogy of the railroads. You had mentioned earlier the robber barons of the early 19th century, where they really forced regulation because they could control how supply and demand works across the country. They had control over whether your stuff made it to the other side of the country or not, and so they could demand whatever price they wanted for those. They could see that things had to show up in a timely manner to have value, and they could control whether they showed up in a timely manner. And so they really forced the government to regulate those businesses because of their practices. And I wonder if these, Chester, if you're going to comment, you're muted right now, so we can't hear you.
I have a comment, though. Were it not for Google, were it not for Amazon, were it not for Apple, where would we be?
You
we
know,
would be way, 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 way behind.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. Does that point invalidate the addressing how big something can get? I like, because they were able to bring us all this technology, does that mean that we let them go unchecked into the future, continuing to be bigger and bigger and bigger?
Yeah, you could have said the same thing in 1890 regarding Standard Oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly the same thing.
How about Merrill Lynch and all those people?
Well, they have competition.
Yeah, they were all in cahoots together.
There's collusion. That's a different story. That's a different issue if there's collusion.
Well, I mean, if I may, I think we're actually, in my opinion, I think we're actually seeing a similar kind of problem with completely different results and a different form of harm than we've seen before. And I think it can only happen because they're tech companies. And it can only happen because they get exponentially larger. Like, you've never seen this kind of power in a marketplace. And I think that our governments are scrambling to figure out how much harm that can cause. You're right. We wouldn't have gotten to this point if they hadn't been able to do what they were able to do. But now they're, I mean, for lack of better examples, now they're able to take people to the moon. Now they've, I mean, it's just crazy how many they've got. Jeff Bezos gets divorced and he creates the third richest person in the world. It's inconceivable how much this financial force has in our world. And I appreciate how smart the congressman came to this hearing, because before they were, I mean, these people didn't have to worry about what the Congress was asking them before. They were so confused by what their business was. This time they know exactly what their business is.
Well, I think as far as Amazon goes, I think it takes a tremendous amount of money to put an organization together like Amazon and these warehouses, and watching the automation that is taking place in the warehouses, I don't think small companies could even compete. I mean, even Walmart seems to be having issues competing. They tried to buy that other grocery outlet and it failed. And I think that unless you can put up the money to put these humongous warehouses everywhere in the country, small companies can't do that. They're having to buy and rely on other companies to ship the stuff for them. They couldn't possibly put that kind of money into it.
Linda, your point is exactly what they're getting at, is that Amazon, the only way a small company can compete in this space is with Amazon. They can't compete against Amazon. They have to use Amazon to sell their product. And Amazon, Bezos was asked directly about that, and how they have testimony from small companies saying that Amazon has driven them out of business, that they have used the data they've collected on the sales of these third parties to create their own businesses. And so you can see that on Amazon. You can see that with diapers, right? You can see that with Amazon Basics. If you go into Amazon Basics, you'll find the equivalent product that you've been looking for. And it goes beyond electronics. It's not a USB hub anymore. It's not a streaming stick anymore. It can be bed sheets. You know, it can be pillow covers that are Amazon Basics. And what
when Amazon departed from distribution, and got into manufacturing, and then also got into newspaper delivery. It, you know, by getting the Washington Post, but mostly it's from competing with their own customers by going into manufacturing.
That's right. Not you or me as a customer, but no. These third parties that they are representing in this marketplace. And I can't think of a better example of why we as a community should be looking at this as infrastructure building. The same way you build roads, the same way you install fiber optic lines, the same way that you guarantee telephone services and electricity and water. Well, this virtual marketplace may end up needing to be something that's highly regulated by the government, because if you're, like Linda was saying, if you're a small business, you can't compete without having access to it.
And well, if I can interrupt, it's happening in two other places that's also getting a lot of attention right now. And one is the milk industry, where so many of these large grocery companies are forming their own dairies and their own dairy companies to offer real cheap milk as a come on, and that's putting other people out of business. Mm. And you can almost say the same thing about Costco and their Kirkland products.
Well,
yes.
I don't think any of you have lived on the East Coast, but there's a company there called Wawa, and they started out as a dairy, and they have convenience stores that are much bigger than any 7-Eleven ever was. And they control a good portion of the East Coast.
As far as you're saying that they are, you're saying that this company, like a 7-Eleven, they own the convenience store market there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue. I think that what we're watching is the first steps into understanding how these industries are doing harm. They've done a lot of good. I agree with Judy. I don't think we would be here if they hadn't had the freedoms they had before. But at one point, while they were talking with Mark Zuckerberg about the Instagram acquisition, they used that a number of times as an example of them just having the power to buy competition. Mark Zuckerberg got frustrated and said, "Hey, look, you guys vetted it." I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said the FTC went through all the documents and they said it was okay for us to buy them. And at that moment, it became clear to me they did. I mean, they did say it was okay to buy them. That's how confused we are about this kind of power, is that it looked like an okay deal at the time. And Mark Zuckerberg said, there's a good argument that they could never have been as successful and as big without Facebook's backing. And I think that's probably true, but it's on two fronts. On the first front, you've got all Facebook's resources sucked into this acquisition so that it can grow big. But on the other front, you're not competing with Facebook when they own you. And so some small startup that's trying to make it big is much better backed by somebody like a Facebook than trying to confront them face on. And that, I think, is the problem as we go forward. And they said again about the Instagram, it was being shopped around. The Instagram people were having trouble keeping their servers up. They didn't have the infrastructure to be as successful as they were in the moment. So they were looking for someone to bail them out. It's a very convoluted issue.
Okay, so now here's the Amazon warehouse in Tucson. Okay, it is 1,196,161 square feet.
Jeez, wow. Wow.
And then the mezzanine, it's up, how do I say this where it is? If you are going into Tucson and you turn on Valencia, and you take Valencia all the way out to Kolb Road, which is about 6 or 7 miles, the warehouse is right out there on the right. It is gigantic. Gigantic. And it employs a lot of people. So they obviously must be feeding the Mexican market with the products. You know, who can compete with that?
Well,
at the price, at the same price. I mean, price for you and me is an issue with all of this as well. Because if you buy, at least Amazon has most of the things you need. They only add a little bit of cost to it. And if you pay for Amazon Prime, you get free shipping for most of the part. So they've definitely hit a niche here during this COVID. Without Amazon, we would have all been really screwed.
That is a concern as well, though. We've created this economy, this e-economy, and look at the companies that are in control of these marketplaces that have been so extremely financially successful just got more financially successful and got to control more of this marketplace because of the situation we're in. If things like that to me are what do you call it? Like dog whistles to maybe this is a problem. Maybe
right? It could become a problem.
Yeah, I mean, maybe these are the examples of why we're supposed to be paying more attention to this, because we can't apply the old rules to it anymore. Just like telecommunications, where when I first came to Mexico, it would cost me $60 to make a 30-minute phone call to the United States. And now we're talking in a group of 9 people for free. We don't follow the same rules anymore. And this antitrust hearing, I think, is all about sorting out the new rules. I don't foresee a lot of change. I don't think of government as moving fast enough to deal with this stuff. So I don't think we're going to see any immediate change. But I did hear a lot of people refer to it as being like the big tobacco hearings, the very first of the big tobacco hearings. I heard a lot of talk like you can mark this in our history books because this is where it began.
But I think one of the differences is, everybody, these people have cash. They're not leveraging all this. They've got cash. And I think, is the big difference here.
Well, what do you mean, Linda, if you don't mind expanding on that?
Well, they're cash flush. They're not leveraged. They're not buying junk bonds and leveraging everything, as they have in the past with different companies.
Right. So, what you're saying is that, like, they see a threat, they can pull out their wallet and just buy it off.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Now, look, Microsoft is going to buy TikTok to salvage this thing with the president.
I haven't read any of that news. That sounds very interesting.
Oh, that's all over today and yesterday. They're going to buy TikTok. So they can just come out, pull out the checkbook, and go buy TikTok without anything. They don't have to leverage anything. Look at Microsoft's stock now. Microsoft was, a couple years ago, running at about $35 a share, and now it's like $150 a share. So
I just put an Amazon warehouse picture on my screen. Can you guys see that?
Huh?
I just put an Amazon warehouse picture on my screen. Can you see that?
Yeah. And it's totally automated.
Well, you know, one thing is these companies
have to leave.
They employ futurists.
All right, Stanley. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
they employ futurists to imagine how the market could be developed. And the government is always going to be behind because they don't have any futurists to leapfrog with these companies. You know, Bill Gates had a vice president who had no people under him except a secretary, and he was a futurist for the company, for Microsoft.
Right.
So they can imagine all these things and develop towards them, and the government has no concept.
Again, I think it's because of cash.
Sure.
They don't have to continually being observed by all these watchdog groups and all these different companies because they're not going for the cash.
Well, we heard testimony. I mean, we didn't hear it from the people that testified, but we congressman brought up testimony from small business owners, and they would share experiences in the Amazon marketplace. There's a bookstore that couldn't get their books listed, didn't make any sense why it was pulled out. In Apple, they had testimony from developers that have apps that they've spent a large amount of time working on, trying to get them submitted to the Apple App Store, and it's this black box. They don't release any guidelines that you're supposed to follow. As I listened to the complaints, I got to thinking about my own experience using YouTube. Now, you know, that's a Google property. And occasionally I get flagged for something on YouTube. It's not clear what I should do, how I should change it. It's done something. There's something about the guidelines. Bill and I had that experience watching an Apple presentation. They said there's a copyright claim. I'm like, how can this be a copyright claim? It's broadcasted everywhere. But their algorithm just knocked me right out. I think we just lost Linda. Just disappeared from my screen.
If I could comment just a moment on Linda's discussion about cash.
Sure.
You know, the old saying that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's the fear, the size of these companies and the cash that they've accumulated is when they deviate and go beyond what their traditional business is.
Yes, yes. I think that is true. That has stayed true to form throughout the years. That's what we're concerned about, is that just that amount of power. I think the power just grows exponentially, and that's what's different. Is before you could monitor it and try and keep it in check. But you probably remember, Chester, when Amazon finally went public. I mean, all they did was lose money. They lost money hand over fist. They all they did was buy market shares with venture capital, and then they finally go public, and they have this insane influx of money available to them just overnight.
Well, I guess they have reached their stride, but their return is still not great compared to Apple.
Right.
But the one that really blows me away is Tesla. That one I cannot fathom. Anyway, that's for another day.
Well, I'm looking at the time. We're getting close to our shutdown time. Are there any other topics besides my ranting of where we're at? I see Maggie pop forward. Do you have a question?
No, I just want to tell you that. Remember the hard time we had getting my scan to work on my wireless printer a couple of years ago?
Okay.
And then it stopped working altogether. Well, I haven't had much to do the last 4 or 5 months, so I set out to fix it, and I did. I have no idea what I did, but it's working.
Well, I hope it included like reinstalling the printer or something along those lines.
Nope. Nothing. I was afraid to even do that. I'm not real trusting of this particular printer because it's been so goofy. I don't know what I did, Scott, but it's working for now anyway.
Well, you know what? On that note, I should mention to you guys, Mom's not here right now, but she just had an experience. She's a prosumer, if you've heard that term before, with the cameras. She loves taking pictures, doing Photoshop, printing out big glossy pictures to hand out as gifts. I tease her because she should be a professional because she has gotten paid for a couple of gigs. She has a really nice Canon printer that allows her to print out just huge, huge pictures. And she couldn't get connected to it. And this is really her story, but I'm going to tell it. She gets a hold of Canon for customer support. And they recommend letting them into the computer so they can check out the computer. It was obvious to her that she was working with some outsourced tech department, probably in India. But she'd gotten there through Canon. And he just filled her with a grocery list of problems that her computer had. And I saw it. He wrote it all down on a text document on her computer. He got into the computer and looked at her, said, "Oh, you've got these infections, you've got a problem with your network stuff, you need to do an upgrade." Gave her a quote for $150 worth of work to get her printer working. As well as these other things that need to happen, because probably these things are affecting her problems. Being my mom, she was insightful enough to be like, "Well, maybe not. I'll get back to you," and hung up with him. So I talked to her later. I didn't know that she was doing this, but I talked to her later. And fortunately, she's my mom, so she hasn't given any credit card information. She hasn't. But this was a legitimate tech service outsourced by Canon that in the midst of helping her with her Canon printer, they were pushing her towards their private services, which I'm sure they do, which I'm sure they consider legitimate services. But they very quickly went from whatever they were getting paid by Canon to help her to what they do to get paid individually outside of Canon. And I bring this up because all she wanted to do was get her printer to work. And because I know their network and I know her very well, I was able to get into her computer. I could see she was on the wrong network. I switched it over to the right network. Now her printer works.
Wow.
$150 later, if you're not my mom, if you're somebody...
How much did you charge her?
I charged her nothing because she's my mom. I'm sure she's paid the price already.
Not even cookies?
But and I made it very clear to her, any of these things, please check with me first. But I was very impressed that she had not gone any farther with it. I think the price tag helped too. Somebody's trying to tell you $150, that'll get everything working. I think you should be concerned about what they're trying to charge you for. I think you're good to get a second opinion. In fact, if somebody hands you a list, I would take the list and say thank you, and then I'd take a photo of it and I would send it to me, your friendly neighborhood computer guy, to see if that really makes sense. I will be happy to, for free, tell you whether they're trying to scam you or not.
So were they trying to scam your mom?
Well, that's where this ends up being a really gray area, because there are legitimate outsourced tech departments in India that have been hired to do customer support for businesses like Canon and Epson and Apple. And I mean, that's their business, is they have intelligent people on the other side of the phone that have computer resources. They have access to manuals, and they've been certified to work on Epson. They've been certified to work on Canon. But what those groups do when they're not doing this work that they've been outsourced for, they are a tech service department, and you can hire them individually. And they will have their own pricing, and they will have their own skill set. And where this becomes blurred is when they can do work for you outside of Canon. I mean, kind of like if I was a certified HP printer repair shop, and you bring your printer to me.
But did she have any of these problems?
Well, let's say that, like, yeah, her operating system was out of date. It wasn't affecting her printer problem.
No, but
her system was out of date.
Yeah, but
so they could offer to her, we can update your system, that may fix the problem.
Mm.
Right? And they did have listed on there infected, where they didn't have any proof that it was infected by anything.
Mm.
Right? And so they were saying, we'll make sure that the infections are gone. So it's a real gray area. Because,
but it isn't. She should write a letter to Canon, whoever, and say this is unacceptable for your outsourced person to be trying to sell me on services other than Canon repair.
Upsell. That's what they're doing, isn't it? They're upselling her. Yeah. And that's what shouldn't be happening. But I'm afraid that all these companies use groups like this. I don't know. Maybe writing a letter would have an effect. I bet there'd have to be dozens of letters to have that effect. And, you know, most people just don't have the time or patience for it. The person writing the letter is the idiot that paid $150.
Or the smart person like your mom realized that they were not fixing her printer. They were
upselling her into other stuff, into accessories. Accessory services is what they were selling her.
Yeah, but you know, I can also appreciate the Canon printer that she has and the fact those things last forever. They're very, very, very high quality printers, take a lot of ink, and Canon's not going to make any money at all by trying to help her. So, you know, why not push it off to someone that can make a little money? Because that once you buy that Canon printer, you're done.
Yeah. Well, they do make all their money off of ink.
Yes.
Yeah. So they can pretty much give you the printer at this point because of how much money they make off of ink.
Yeah. That's not a cheap printer though. That I have one and they're pretty expensive.
Sure. But yeah. No, you're talking about hundreds of dollars for that printer. This isn't the $50 Walmart printer.
And also the paper is very expensive because it lasts 100 years without fading.
Yeah. Well, I just felt like the experience needed to be shared because it was so easy for her to get upsold and she was bright enough not to buy into it.
Exactly. And,
had she not had you, maybe that would have been smart to go ahead.
Yeah, well, and what it makes me nervous about is I've heard these stories from other folks that have gone as far as giving them a credit card number.
Right.
I think if you've called for help and you're not expecting to pay for it, you should hold off on giving a credit card. I think that's a good, safe, general rule. You're calling for help, and it didn't even occur to you that you were going to have to pay for it. At that point, maybe you should be talking to somebody like me. Just say, Scott, does this make sense?
And I've called Canon several times and have never had that particular experience, except the last time I tried to get support, and they wanted a credit card up front. So that's when I took my Canon printer and I put it out in the trash because it is one of those Walmart ones. So it really wasn't worth anything for me to pay to get it fixed.
That's right.
That's not true though with the Canon his mother has.
No, I know, but I'm just saying with my Canon, I didn't expect to have to pay for them to tell me why the carriage wasn't moving back and forth. And when they wanted money to tell me that,
that was it, you know.
Right. You're like, what are you talking about? This is three times the amount I paid for the printer. Why would I want your advice that bad?
$30 or something at Walmart in Mexico. So no.
Yeah. Yeah. I have one of those. I paid like $50 for a Canon printer at Walmart here in Mexico. And the moment it stops working, it'll be chucked in the trash. And exactly. I don't appreciate that we live in that world, but I'm definitely not going to let it eat me for more money. I'll just toss it in the trash.
Exactly. Target right now has them again for like $44. So,
well, the ink costs more than the stupid printers. So after you've had the printer for a bit, there's no point in keeping it. You might as well just go buy $50, get a new printer, and you got another load of ink. I mean, it.
No, the ink you get today is
too shallow.
Yeah, just a minor amount of ink.
They're called starter cartridges.
Yeah. Yeah, they got onto that.
The problem with a lot of these cartridges, too, now, they put these proprietary thing. You can't even go buy remanufactured cartridges anymore because as soon as you go to put them in, you never want to do the updates on the printers either because the minute you put them in, it negates the printer. And then it won't work.
And
if you buy a printer in Mexico and try and put ink that you buy in the United States, even though it's Canon ink, it does not work.
Correct.
I think that has stopped. If you have one of those printers, unfortunately, you're still stuck.
Right.
But it seems like people caught on to what was going on and made such a stink about it that all the printer manufacturers backed away from going that far.
Well, it's the same thing with the coffee makers. They did that too.
Yeah. Yeah. With those pods, that right. was an issue for a while.
Right.
And we talked about the fridge filters, the water filters with GE. Where they were hacking water filters because if you didn't use GE water filters that were twice the price.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
See you next week.
All right, guys. Hey, Cheryl, you got something to add?
Actually, I have a question, and I think, Judy, if you don't mind answering for me. iPhone purchased at AT&T when we got our AT&T plan. Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned to me yesterday that if you take the Apple 6S into an Apple store, there's something about a free upgrade with the battery.
I believe that's true. I don't know whether it's still going on.
Okay, so does that mean, but I don't take it back to AT&T, I have to take it to an Apple store?
I think it's Apple. Because
seems it's an Apple thing.
iPhone. So you have to take it.
I forget why they were doing that. There was some, they got in trouble for something.
The battery drain.
Something?
I thought it was the battery drain.
Yeah. She said something about the maximum, like my maximum capacity on this battery is 87% under my battery.
Right.
And there was something about the battery sold with the 6S's that.
Yeah.
Capacity too quickly or something?
Yes. And when you did that one upgrade to the new OS, then it really depleted the battery very rapidly.
Okay. So it had to do with when you do the upgrade.
That's what I remember. Scott, do you remember that?
I'm just having so much trouble remembering this topic. All I remember is that it was under warranty, that they had a replacement program.
Exactly.
Seems like if there was a fee associated with it, it was something like $5. It was just some minimal.
I was thinking 25.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was 25. It just, it was not the price that you'd have to pay to go to a shop to get a battery changed.
And one quick thing, my iPhone 10 is going to be paid off right now. So.
You're going to go get another one?
I don't know.
Well, the 12 is coming out.
12 is coming out in October, what I just read.
Oh, okay. Hey, before we go.
We paid $50 for Bill's iPhone, and we paid $100 or $99 for mine. So I like the idea that it's a $5, not a $25. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, don't trust my memory. I would have to look it up for you again. Information just flows through me. Everything changes so quickly. One week I'm a genius at something, and the next week I don't even remember studying it.
Okay, so the other thing I was going to share with you guys is August 1st, today, our two large cities within Alberta, our province / state, have declared that as of today, every public building, you have to wear a mask. Masks are required in all public buildings. The one said in any town-owned or city-owned building, and the other one said any place that the public is, masks are mandatory. They've been wanting the province to say it's across the whole province. The province would not do that, so the two cities have made it their bylaws.
Wow.
That's great.
I have one other topic for you, Cheryl and Bill, and maybe others are interested in this. Google One is Google's backup service.
Okay.
And it's competing with iCloud. And what's become important is you can now do and Judy, you probably find this interesting as well. You can back up your iDevices to it.
Wow.
So before you're using storage space and you're using the Google Photo program with them, all of that counts towards your G Drive, your Google Drive space. This is an extension of that. It's another app. It's a Google One app. You download it from the App Store. It'll show you exactly where you sit as far as your storage and show you all the options. I was playing with it this morning, and I'll put a link to the article on today's podcast if you want to read it further. But I got more out of downloading the app and looking at what was available than I got from the article I read about it.
What kind of fee are we looking at for subscription?
Well, it's got different pricing. It's got the $2 for 100 gigs, but it also goes into great, great sizes. Like I think I saw something that was like 5 terabytes. The big news is that it's been made available for Android, and it's been coming to iOS for a long time. And the idea that you could back up an Apple device to it. That's the new things.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I just mention it. If you want, it takes nothing to download it. It's a free app. You sign into it with your Google account like you would any other Google service. And I've got it in front of me now. It's showing me I'm using 4 of 15 for free. And let me see. You've got 15 of free. Shows me where I'm using my 4 gigabytes, my Google Drive, my Gmail, my Google Photos. And where is Get More? Because I had seen it for Get More. How to Get More? Upgrade. Oh, it's a button right at the bottom. Upgrade. So I'm in Mexico, so it's given me things in Mexican pricing, but 100 gigabytes for 34 pesos a month.
Wow.
200 gigabytes for 49 pesos a month. Oh, yeah, that's it. It went all the way up to 30 terabytes.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And that is very expensive. That's about $120 a month. It's 2,549 pesos a month. It's about $125 a month for 30 terabytes. But if I had 30 terabytes of data, that seems like a pretty decent price. I mean, that would be all the computers in my little business all being backed up to that one space.
And Apple devices will back up to it and the laptops and everything.
That's the way I understand it, is that it multiple devices can, but the biggest deal is that the Apple devices can back up to it, which you weren't able to do before with Google Drive. That was the thing that you were missing in your comparison between iCloud and the Google Drive is that you were not able to back up your phone to it. You're able to back up your photos and the files you make and even your contacts could be in Google, but you couldn't back up the device.
Wow. So Google One, and I could maybe, yeah. See, the other thing that's taking up room on my iCloud is the backups, but it's photos and it's music, you know, those kind of things. So this would give me the storage for all that.
Well, it's a true comparison to iCloud now from your perspective. Like, you could do everything you need to do with this service instead of iCloud.
What about multiple users?
Oh, that's a good question for next time.
Okay.
So, Carol and Bill, I have a question. How are you going to get back to Mexico?
Don't make me cry.
Are you coming back?
I don't want to make you cry. I just want to know, have you heard? Do you? I don't know. It's kind of perplexing. I was thinking, you know, because some of the states here are banning people from other states going through that state. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how would I get to Mexico? You know, because I go through New Mexico and Arizona, and I read that New Mexico is thinking of banning
travel
or you quarantine. How do you quarantine when you're driving through a state?
Well, and I think that what they usually do is non-essential or different things like that. Yeah. We have a situation in Canada where American citizens will come to the border and say that they're on their way for essential travel to Alaska. And they get
you in. Think you can do that the other way.
This is actually, I'm familiar with this issue too, because it's a Canadian, Alaskan, continental United States issue. Mm-hmm. And what Canada has started doing is you have to declare your passing through. You have to declare your travel plan and where you're planning on stopping. You declare that you are not planning to interact. You're not going to go out and like you're going to self-quarantine every time you stop. Okay. And then they give you a document that has to hang from your window that has the date you're supposed to be out of the country by. And
is this going the other way, though? You guys leaving Canada coming through the U.S.?
I don't think we have anything like that in the U.S. It's state by state in the United States, like you're concerned.
I don't think they can come across the border because I just heard from the people that are supposed to rent my house. And they're from Toronto, and they told me they doubt that they're coming, not to count on them.
Because there's two reasons why we have to look at. One, borders being open, and that's state borders as well as the country borders. And the second thing is our country right now has said non-essential travel is banned. So there's a travel ban. Right. Therefore, our health insurance company says, if your country's telling you not to travel, we're not going to pay for your medical when you're outside our border. Okay. The Canadian government might start saying you're fine to travel to X country or Y country, but as long as they say travel to the United States is not, we can't get health insurance, we're not leaving Canada.
Right. Okay.
There's two things that have to happen. The country has to declare that we're okay to travel. The countries that we want to travel through, the states we want to travel through, have to say we're welcome to be in their space.
Well, you got one other, too, because Sonora isn't letting people into Mexico from the United States unless it's essential travel. And what counts as essential travel is having property down here. Right. And so if you're traveling, Cheryl, if you get that far, you'll also have to have documents that prove that you belong in San Carlos to get across.
Yeah, we rented a property, but we don't own. So we have a rental agreement for mid-December to mid-March, but that's all we have.
And I've read that's good. I've read that the realtor said, was it Tammy or somebody said that will be... okay.
Oh, yeah. I see. If you thought of,
what will be interesting, though, is the language that Sonora has used sounds like you are choosing to pass your time in San Carlos. So I don't know what happens if you start making trips back and forth from the United States. They have the ability to track how often you've gone across the border now. So I think this is an issue with people that frequent going back and forth. There's a good possibility at some point they won't let them back in, or they might fine them for the amount of travel they're doing back and forth from the United States.
Yeah. So everything's up in the air. We don't know when it would be settled. You know, we've got some reservations in Vegas, but it's looking like that's probably not going to happen.
What about personally? Are you concerned about traveling personally?
Well,
like personal health.
I wouldn't be too worried about traveling through the states and then getting to San Carlos, because we're basically the same amount of security, self-security there as we have here. You know, if we're in our place, you know, you just take all the precautions. But I would have reservations about stopping in Vegas until things clean up.
Yeah, or geez, Nogales on the Arizona side. Did you guys hear about that?
No, what?
What are they testing at now?
Well, this is a couple of weeks ago. I was watching a news article, and they were in Nogales, Arizona, and it was like one of the biggest outbreaks of the state. And they had amped up their testing, so they were doing a lot more testing there than other places. But what was really scary was that every time they tested, somebody would test positive. They had a positive test rate of about 55% in. Wow. In Nogales. I just got a message from my cousin. She lives in Los Angeles, and she's been recovering from COVID. And her experience is a really interesting one to hear, because she had no idea that she was infected, but she had had contact with somebody that knew they were infected. So she went and did the test like she was supposed to. She was positive. She didn't have any symptoms for 10 days, and then she had mild symptoms, and it went away, and that was about 15 days ago, and now she's had chest pains come back, congestion come back. She said one of the most telling indicators for her, she has asthma, and it was the first time, she said, it felt like my asthma was up. But it was the first time my inhaler did nothing. It didn't matter how many times she hit her inhaler, it wouldn't give her any relief. And so now I think she's under a self-quarantine just because symptoms have come back, even though she knows she's testing positive.
So does a doctor...
Or negative, I'm sorry. She knows she's testing negative.
Oh, she's testing negative?
She's testing negative, but she's still quarantining herself because these symptoms haven't gone away.
Yeah, I've heard that Dr. Mike, Lau, what's Dr. Mike's name?
Lau.
Yeah, in San Carlos, is prescribing hydrochloroquine.
You know, that drug, I don't remember the details, but it seems like at the time Mexico bought a huge gross of that and started distributing it and making it part of their treatment plan, while the United States was debating about whether it was a good idea or not. I feel really bad that these things have become so politicalized. I mean, you see it in our social networks. People are just calling other people idiots for considering using this drug that Trump has supported. And I really want us to just stay with, what's the science say? I mean, if people are getting better, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, Big Bird could have supported it. It's not hard to endorse a medication without having any clue of whether it's going to be good or not. That describes my president quite well. But you can't use a clueless president as a reason not to look into a medication. And there are stories out there of people being successful on this.
Yeah. See, I know a woman in San Carlos that says that she took it for 4 days and her symptoms lessened and that she feels that it really helped. I don't know if she was tested positive or what. And
yeah. Well, you don't know whether she would have felt better with or without it. I mean, it's...
That's true.
And I just wish we'd stop treating each other like we're idiots for listening one way or the other. It's like, let's put our faith in science. I've heard a number of doctors come out and say, why would we lie to you? This is a horrible experience. We're in the middle of it. Lying would just make things worse. And that's none of us got in the health profession to mislead people. And all we want to do is make people better. And so we're trying to give you guys as good information as possible. Please stop thinking that doctors might be lying to you.
Yeah.
Well, there are people out there, you know, trying to make a buck.
Yeah. And then
there are people out there that will say anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And could include doctors. My goodness.
Yep. Yeah. You're right. It could.
All right, okay. Scott, I'm out of here.
All right, we've gotten so far away from technology, we probably should end this conversation.
Don't hang up, Judy. Don't hang up, Judy.
See
ya.
See you guys.
See you guys.
Bye bye.
I'm gonna do an outro. If you want to talk to Judy privately, I'll be popping off of this in just moments. I just want to say thank you for joining us for the San Carlos Computer Club. We will be here next Saturday at 9 o'clock, where hopefully I'll have a minimal amount of technical problems, as well as I hope you guys have a minimal amount of technical problems as well. I'd like to spend the hour talking about interesting technology problems, not how come you're frozen. And how does Zoom work? So,
and Simply Safe is still on my radar.
Simply Safe? Say that again.
Remember Simply Safe, that like a Ring doorbell thing, but it's not. It's Simply Safe.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I can talk about that.
Simply Safe.
I have a Ring doorbell.
Okay.
We need more information about Simply Safe, and I forgot all about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys, and I'll talk to you next Saturday. Until then, tech on.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Judy.